Hi, I'm Michael Panish, and welcome to the Clark Reaper podcast at clarkreaper.com. If you have any comments or questions about Clark Reaper, send me an email at m.panish@comcast.net. That's Panish spelled P-A-N-U-S-H. Today's story is Hell on the Range, the third chapter in the ongoing saga of Clark Reaper. I do hope you enjoy it, and let's begin Hell on the Range. Clark Reaper and Hell on the Range. Now, I've been in quite a few range wars, and have always found them peculiar conflicts. They normally are fought between two ranchers over a bit of land. The normal cause is too much strong talk and whiskey and too little sense. Before anyone knows what's happened, battle lines have been drawn and the two sides are blowing each other away with six guns, rifles, and dynamite. Ranchers hire all kinds of folks to do the shooting, and I am often one of them. You see, my name is Clark Reaper, and I'm a bounty hunter. I don't like fighting range wars. Seems to me both sides are just variations of the same tweed-clad fat cat who sits at home and drinks whiskey out of a gold cup while folks he paid a half cent or two go off and die for him. But when times are tight, and I'm in the need for money, I'll hire myself and my cult peacemakers after the highest bidder. And that's just how it happened. Times was tight, and I needed a job. You see, I had a little boy in my care by the name of Charles Green. I saved him from a bunch of flesh-eating corpses in Kansas, and he's been along with me ever since. Raising a kid makes everything I do a heck of a lot harder, but I just ain't got the heart to get rid of him. His father got eaten by the hungry dead, and I figure I'm just about the only person he has. That's why when I got a telegram from the Cormac Ranch way out in California asking for my help, I got on the first train to Sacramento. Charles is a nice little feller. He's got brown curly hair, thick spectacles, and he always wears a brown Norfolk suit with a peak cap. I'm a tall gent, and I wear a long khaki duster and a crumbling Stetson. A belt with two Colt peacemakers is never far from my grasp. When we sat together in the lower class compartment of the train to Sacramento, we must have looked as different as an ornery Mustang and a little pony. I had been muling over some thoughts during the long train ride, and just as we were nearing the end of our journey, I reckoned it was time to let Charles know. He was reading a book, some cheap dime novel I'd bought him at the last train station, and he was kicking his little legs idly as the train pulled into Sacramento. I put my arm on his shoulder and he looked up. "What is it, Mr. Reaper?" he asked curiously. "Well, son, I gotta tell you something." I gulped. I'd grown quite fond of Charles lately. He was very polite and shy, and he always seemed eager to help me out and watch my back. In fact, I was wondering if maybe him and me weren't too different from a father and a son. "Sure, Mr. Reaper. What is it?" "It's about this here job I'm about to do. The one for the Cormac Ranch. There's gonna be a whole lot of shooting and other violence, and I want you to stay clear of it. I'll go out and fight the war. You stay back in the ranch and keep your head low. You understand, son?" Charles shook his little head. "But I can help, Mr. Reaper. I want to be with you. I've been on your adventures before." I didn't let up. "Sorry, Charles. Those last times you got hurt, and I couldn't forgive myself if something worse happened to you. During this job, you've got to hang back." Charles nodded reluctantly. "Well, I guess so, Mr. Reaper. But it can't be that dangerous, and I'm sure you can keep me safe." "I wish I shared your confidence, son." I looked out the train window. We had just pulled into the last station, and the passengers are already disembarking. "Well, we'd best get ourselves into town. I'm sure whoever owns the Cormac Ranch will be waiting for us." After getting our luggage, we walked out onto the platform. Sure enough, a portly feller in a black and white checkered tweed suit ran up to me. A revolver was holstered on his waist, and a gray, upturned mustache covered most of his face. He grinned at me and held out his hand. "Jasper Cormac, owner of the Cormac Ranch. Mr. Reaper, it is a great pleasure to meet you." He pumped my hand fiercely and then looked down at Charles. "And who is this?" "My boy, Mr. Cormac. His name is Charles Green, and he'll be staying back at your ranch while we do the fighting." Cormac nodded. "Whatever you say, Mr. Reaper. My, am I glad to have someone of your expertise along with us. We are going to blow those filthy greasers right out of the water." We walked down the streets of Sacramento to a parked carriage. "Greasers?" I asked. "You mean Mexicans, right?" "Rancheros. I've recently purchased a sizable area of fertile land, perfect for my herds, but a pack of greasers was already occupying the area. They call themselves the Huevos Rancho. The sombrero top stinkers raise a few scraggly head of cattle, and they simply refuse to leave, even after I politely told them to get the hell off of my land. The nerve. Any reason why? He shrugged. Something about them having nowhere else to go. A shooting war has just recently broken out, and with my resources, I will surely come out the victor. I brought in some powerful artillery from San Francisco. To assure my success, I've hired another master gunfighter, besides you, to lead the charge against the greasers. Another gunslinger? I looked up at the carriage. Sure enough, a familiar-looking feller was sitting on top of it. Who is it? The man on the stagecoach roof dropped down in front of me. He was a tall, thin gunman, dressed in a black cloak topped by a wide-brimmed black hat. A silver pentagram glittered on the hat band. A long-barreled Colt Buntline Special was at his waist, as well as one of them long knives called an Arkansas toothpick. His dark eyes stared out at me from a head of tangled black hair. He looked crafty as a cougar and twice as hungry. "Clark, this is Brimstone Brown," Cormick said, pointing to the other gunslinger. I drew my Colt out and pointed at him before I knew what was happening, and soon was seriously considering pulling the trigger. "We've met," I said. Brimstone Brown held out his hands. "Please, Clark, there's no need for you to bring up old grievances. Let's forget the past for now. We can be friends. The last time we saw each other, you tied me to a steamboat heading off the edge of Niagara Falls." I kept my pistol leveled. "We ain't friends." "Well, honored foes, at least." He held out his hand. "Please, Clark, give it a shake." I shook my head. "That last time I shook your hand, you reached around and tried to stab me in the back. I've still got the scar." Jasper Cormer quickly intervened, stepping between us. "Now, Mr. Reaper, Brimstone Brown has been a very good employee. In fact, it was he who pointed out the patch of fertile ground that we're fighting over. You work for me now, Mr. Reaper, and I won't have you starting fights with my men." I stared at Brimstone for a long time before holstering my six-gun with a practice spin. Brimstone was a bastard of the first degree, a cultist always on the lookout for arcane power, and willing to do almost anything to get it. Ignoring him would be tough, but I reckon I needed the money more than I needed to settle a score. We got into the stagecoach. Charles was a mite tuckered out from the train ride, so he climbed inside the coach and tried to get some shut-eye, while me and Brimstone sat on the roof. Jasper Cormick drove. Cormick cracked the whip and we started off down the road, soon leaving Sacramento behind and heading into the country. "So, Clark," Brimstone said after a while, "I didn't know you've had a son." "He ain't mine," I explained. "I've been taking care of the boy after his parents were killed. Charles is near and dear to me, so don't you go on hurting him, or you'll answer for it." Brimstone shook his head and laughed. "Please, Clark, are you making me out to be some kind of monster? I love children. Always good to have a little lad running about. Makes everything a little bit easier." That was a queer thing for Brimstone to say, and it made me a mite uneasy. Apparently, Jasper Cormick really trusted Brimstone Brown and valued his advice, but Brimstone'd rather look for occult knowledge than take sides in a petty range war. Something was amiss, and Cormick Brown weren't telling me the whole story. By and by, we came to Cormick Ranch. It was a nice place, with a large number of barns and houses, some crops growing, and herds of cattle grazing peacefully away. A score of ranch hands and cowboys were waiting for us, all armed with pistols, rifles, and shotguns. Guess they had been waiting for their boss to come back before they made their move. "Hello, boys," Jasper Cormick said when he saw his men. "I'd like you all to meet Clark Reaper, one of the best guns in the West." He stood up and pointed a pudgy finger at me. "He's my new top shooter!" I touched the brim of my hat and they all cheered like I was a hero or something. "We'll be attacking the greasers in a little while, so don't get lazy and don't get too drunk," Jasper commanded. The men grumbled, but they were in good spirits, shouting out battle cries and waving their guns around. Jasper took me, Brimstone, and Charles to the ranch house to get our bearings and prepare for the attack. He had a nice little cabin, filled with furniture and adorned with bull's horns on the wall. Several maps of the surrounding area had been spread out in a few tables, and Cormac bent over one like he was Napoleon. Charles was snoozing away, so I carried him inside and laid him down on a comfortable-looking Chesterfield in the corner. "Very well," Cormac said, plucking his white mustache. "Let's see how things lie. Here is the Cormac Ranch." He pointed a thick finger at a large brown square on one side of the map. "Here is the Huevos Rancho." He pointed at another, smaller square. There was a small amount of land between them, and I noticed a small white square filling up some of that. "What about that one?" I asked, pointing at it. "Oh, that," Jasper said, as if it weren't of any importance. "That's San Diablo, an old mission from the Spanish days. It's just a ruin. We may use it as cover or something, but we probably won't have cause to go there." "It's nothing to get excited about," Brimstone added, staring at me with hard black eyes. I shrugged and said no more about it. "Everything understood?" Jasper said. Brimstone and I nodded. "Excellent! Get your guns ready and we'll ride out. The Greasers might send an advance force to head us off, but we can cut through them with ease. Those lazy Mexicans are good at one thing, and that's taking siestas. Consider this an evening in the park, shooting very lazy deer." I checked my weapons. My trusty Colt Peacemakers, my bowie knife in my boot, and for long-range work, a borrowed Winchester repeating rifle. After getting everything ready, I headed for the door, but a short hand grabbed my duster. Charles tugged at my jacket. "Mr. Reaper?" he asked plaintively. "Can I come with you?" "No, son. You stay here. I won't be that long." "Are you going to fight?" "Reckon I am." I didn't see no point in lying to Charles. "Well, then be careful, please." He looked up at me with big eyes, and I couldn't help but smile. "Son of a gun, Charles. I'll just be fighting some stuck-up rancheros. No need to be careful." I couldn't have been more wrong about anything. Jasper Cormac and Brimstone Brown had the cowboys assembled outside. Whooping and hollering, they got on their horses and rode out to battle. I rode next to Cormac, with Brimstone nearby. "We'll get to the outskirts of the rancho soon," Jasper said as we rode towards the horizon. The landscape was mostly fields of tall grass. "When we get close enough, we'll dismount and proceed on foot. I've brought some surprises for the Greasers." The surprises were four honest-to-God Hotchkiss guns, machine guns, just like the kinds that were used by federal troopers. Jasper Cormac must have had even more money than he let on. A wagon carrying the machine guns brought up the rear. After only a couple of minutes of hard riding, we came to some hilly territory. It was typical California ground. Short grass, hills, and the occasional tree. Fine land for ranching. I could see Huevos Rancho in the distance. It was like a mouse compared to the monster of Cormac Ranch, made up of only one barn, a collection of adobe huts, and a few sparse fields of crops. We got off of our horses, and some of the ranch hands set up the Hotchkiss guns. It didn't take long for the rancheros to come. "There they are," Brimstone said, pointing to the Huevos Rancho. Sure enough, a small army of sombrero-top men on horses rode straight for us. "You think we're in for a tough fight?" I said, crouching down and taking my Winchester off the sling of my back. "No problem, no problem at all," Cormac grinned. "They're lazy Greasers. They can't even ride right." Suddenly, a lariat snaked out from one of the oncoming rancheros, wrapped around my Winchester, and pulled it right out of my hands. The man stood on his horse like a professional rodeo star, expertly dodging the bullets the cowboys blasted at him. Then he grabbed the Winchester and blew a hole in the head of the ranch hand next to me. The rancheros rode straight into us, and the battle was on. Those Mexicans may have been a lot of things, but they sure as hell weren't lazy. They used old breech loaders that wouldn't have been out of place during the Mexican War, but guns weren't the only weapon they brought, no sir. The lariats they carried lashed out and fastened around the necks of the cowboys, strangling some of them where they stood or dragging them behind the rancheros' horses and crashing them into rocks and such. The rancheros also wielded lances, impaling some ranch hands or throwing the lances like javelins. Cormac's men tried to blast them with their guns, but the fighting was up close and bloody. No time to aim carefully or reload. Horses kicked around, trampling everybody, deadly lances were flying through the air, and an occasional gunshot went off. It was like bedlam itself. My peacemakers came in handy, and I fanned them off at the oncoming rancheros as fast as I could. A couple of the horsemen went down, but not enough. Soon my revolvers were empty. I didn't have time to reload, and found myself drawing the bowie knife out from my boot. But I knew that it wasn't going to help much. I hid behind a dead horse and reloaded my revolvers as Jasper Cormac crawled over to me. His hat was gone, and he didn't look too beaten up. "Goddamn greasers!" he cursed. "This wasn't what's supposed to happen!" "Well, what do you figure we should do?" I demanded. Before Cormac could answer, I stood up and shot a charging ranchero off his horse. The lance he threw landed in the dirt a few feet from us. "The Hotchkiss!" Jasper Cormac cried, pointing to a hill that might as well have been miles away, what with all the rancheros riding around it. "The greasers killed the crew, but if you can get to it and set it up, we can mow down these lazy Mexicans." "I don't think I'd call them lazy," I said, ducking back down. "And I'll tell you something else. It takes two to fire a Hotchkiss, and I'm just one feller."
"I'll help," Brimstone's eerie voice echoed in my ear.
I spun around and found him staring at me. His Arkansas toothpick was out and bloodied, as was his smoking Bunt Light Special. "That's what friends do, isn't it?"
"I reckon so," I muttered. Without giving Jasper Cormac a backwards glance, I ran for the down Hotchkiss. Brimstone Brown was running right next to me, and our pistols seemed to shoot out lead in tandem. A group of ranchero horsemen started stampeding towards us, but we gunned them down quick enough. After a time that seemed longer than all of creation and a half, we reached the hill. A couple of rancheros looked our way. I stood back and fired at them while Brimstone Brown charged in for the kill. He leapt into the air like a mountain cat and drove his long Arkansas toothpick straight through the skull of the unlucky Mexican, then pulled it out and neatly slit the throat of another. I wouldn't want to be on the opposite side of Brimstone in a knife fight, that was for sure. After the rancheros were dispatched, we set the Hotchkiss up and put a string of bullets inside.
"You want a fire?" I asked Brimstone.
"It would be a pleasure," he whispered slowly.
I started and threaded the ammo belt, and Brimstone began to work the crank of the Hotchkiss. Soon a stream of bullets flew out, tearing apart the rancheros and their horses. The poor Mexicans didn't stand a chance. It was a miserable way to fight, and I didn't like it one bit, but I still kept the bullets coming. Brimstone Brown, on the other hand, was grinning ear to ear. The rancheros tried to retreat, but the Hotchkiss gutted them as they rode away. It wasn't long before the ground was covered with the bodies of men and horses, and there weren't nothing left to shoot. Brimstone stopped working the crank. We both stood up and looked over the carnage. Jasper Cormac and the surviving cowboys raised a ragged cheer. Cormac ran to our side.
"We sure showed them!" he exclaimed.
I looked at the dead bodies, cowboy and ranchero, that littered the ground. He was right, but for some reason, I weren't glad of it.
"What now?" I asked.
"Well, I'd suggest repairing to my ranch for victory drinks."
Jasper Cormac put a hand around Brimstone's shoulder.
"A congratulations for a job well done."
Brimstone Brown shrugged off Jasper's hand.
"The job's not done yet. More rancheros must be out there, waiting to attack again. With most of our men dead, we won't be able to hold them off, even with the Hotchkiss."
"More?" Cormac looked surprised. "But the Huevos Rancho is just a small place. We must have killed all of their men and boys."
"But the Mexicans breed like rats." Brimstone clasped his hands together.
"You know that, Jasper. Perhaps, even as we speak, an army of horsemen even bigger than the one we slaughtered is coming straight towards us."
Something wasn't right here. I didn't know the situation too well, but I figured Brimstone was spitting out hogwash and Cormac was buying it.
"What should we do?" asked Cormac, his voice wavering.
"The Mission San Diablo." Brimstone Brown jabbed a thumb behind him. "We can fortify it, mount the Hotchkiss guns, and take up firing positions along the wall. No rancheros will be able to get close."
Jasper nodded. "A decent idea." He raised his voice, ordering his men. "Come on, boys, let's head on down to the Mission San Diablo."
We rode in a grim silence. I was wrapped up in my own thoughts about what Brimstone Brown could be planning.
He had some sort of a hold over poor Jasper. But I still couldn't figure out his purpose. The mission San Diablo seemed to play some role in it. Now, I ain't exactly a Spanish speaker, but I know that San normally means saint, and Diablo is devil. Missions, being Christian institutions, would not normally be named after no devil. There was some sort of story behind the name, maybe explaining why it had been abandoned. But none of the cowboys, ranch hands, or Cormorant seemed to know anything about it. We finally got to the mission. The place was just wrong. There ain't exactly a way of describing it to get the feeling across. Certain heaviness in the air, a stale, rotten scent filling up your nose, the sun burning a little less bright overhead. The mission looked all wrong, too. Odd stains covered the outside walls, chains dangled every which way, and a big cross in the main entrance was turned completely upside down. I weren't the only one who felt it. The ranch hands fidgeted in their saddles, and even Jasper looked a mite flustered. But not Brimstone Brown. He smiled wide as an alligator as he looked San Diablo over.
"Brimstone?" Cormorant asked. "Are you sure this is really necessary?"
"Absolutely." Brimstone turned to Cormorant. "Come on, Mr. Cormorant. Or do you want to let the Mexicans win?"
I don't," Cormorant stammered. "Those greasy greasers! Come on, boys, let's fortify the place!"
We rode inside, and it got even worse. The sides of the place seemed to close in, and there were odd carvings and words etched onto the wall, images that made you want to look away as soon as you saw 'em. Brimstone was the last to enter the mission. After he trotted his steed into the courtyard, the doors slammed shut with a bang.
"What was that?" Cormorant demanded. "Brimstone?"
But Brimstone Brown was busy. He bent low over his horse, whispering something very low and very fast. I couldn't make the words out, but something about them syllables was wrong, and I felt a shiver pass through me. The walls of the mission seemed to get a little bit closer, and a deep rumbling sound came from somewhere deep below the hooves of our horses.
"What's going on?"
Jasper Cormorant asked, as the horses began to whinny in panic. The cowboys fidgeted and clutched their weapons, and I had an urge to turn tail and flee.
"What is this?" Cormorant cried again. "Judgment Day?"
Brimstone Brown grinned rakishly. "Close," he said. Then he whispered a few more words in that strange language. A red, mist-like specter came out of the ground, seeping up like smoke. The rotten egg stench of sulfur filled the air. The mist floated towards an unlucky ranch hand, completely surrounded him, and forcing itself into the poor feller's mouth. The ranch hand went into spasms and fell off his horse. When he stood up, his eyes weren't his own. They was blood red and bulging out of his skull. His skin looked like it was melting from the inside. Cormorant seemed to have recovered some of his wits.
"Brimstone!" he shouted, rage in his voice. "I demand you stop this at once! If this is some kind of trick or practical joke, rest assured that I am not amused."
Brimstone ignored him, and Jasper got even more flustered.
"Damn it, Brimstone, you're fired! You are no longer in my employ."
"Thanks for accepting my resignation." Brimstone leaned forward on his horse. "Matter of fact, you'll have to accept the resignation of all your other cowboys as well. They've got a new master." With that, Brimstone snapped his fingers, and more of that red mist filtered out of the ground. It flew into the mouths of the other ranch hands. The unfortunate cowpunchers tried to stop it. Some of them fired into the crimson clouds, others tried to run away. One man managed to blow his own brains out before the fog got him, but the others had no such luck. Soon each one of the ranch hands had red glowing eyes and slightly melting skin. They all aimed their weapons at Cormorant and me.
Stop it, please!" Jasper pleaded, waving his arms and crying. "I'll give you my ranch, my fortune, just please make it stop!"
"You fat little puss." Brimstone drew out his long-barreled pistol and aimed it leisurely at Jasper Cormorant. "And Clark Reaper, idiot amongst idiots. It's been a pleasure. They opened up like a firing squad, cracking away in unison with military discipline. I jumped off of my horse and hit the dirt, covering my head as the bullets whizzed by. But poor old Jasper was not quick enough and caught most of the slugs. He was soon shot full of holes and slumped backwards on his horse as his blood dripped out of him. As soon as I saw an opening, I came up firing. I shot one of the possessed ranch hands off his horse as I ran backwards, distracting them long enough for me to reach the walls. Some of them big chains were hanging down like limbs of a tree, and I scrambled up, nimble as a monkey. "Kill him!" Brimstone ordered, and the ranch hands opened fire on me with everything they had. But the good Lord seemed to have me on his mind, or maybe the ranch hands just had bad aim. Whatever the case, I avoided the shots and climbed to the top of the mission. "Missed me, you dumb demon lover!" I shouted down as I climbed up to the parapets of the mission. "You fool, Clark, you damned fool." Brimstone snapped his fingers. "A death from a bullet would be a mercy, considering what you're asking for now. Hell hath no fury like my own, and you've gone and pissed us both off." The ground rumbled again and the dirt began to seethe. Odd-looking critters burrowed out of the dirt, sticking up their heads like prairie dogs before they crawled out. The creatures were short and spindly little beasts, with electric blue skin, long pointed noses, and tiny sharp fangs. Each one was vaguely bipedal, and they were all dressed in neat little sailor suits. I figured they were imps, and they served as lapdogs for Brimstone and his demonic masters. "Go, my minions!" Brimstone commanded. "Bring him to me alive, but feel free to have a little fun with him." The imps chattered in high-pitched voices, like laughing children, and then they came after me, climbing the walls of San Diablo. I fired downward with my Colt, picking the little critters off, but there were just too many of them. One of them leapt up and scratched my legs with its claw. The cuts burned like I had been branded. "Son of a gun!" I cursed. I toppled over backwards, teetering over the edge of the wall, and then I fell. I fired upwards and killed the imps leaping after me, but soon I crashed down hard on the ground below, just outside the mission's walls. Some leafy desert bushes broke my fall, but I was still pretty banged up. As I tried to gather the strength to stand, I could hear Brimstone talking inside the mission's walls. "He fell? How poetic. Oh well, I'll have myself a time nonetheless." I finally got to my feet. I wanted to kick those big wooden double doors open and send Brimstone to meet his maker, whoever that was. But I knew I couldn't win against the hosts of hell. Not all by my lonesome. I needed help, and I was too weak to go far to find it. I turned around and spotted the Huevos Rancho in the distance. The Mexicans had no love for Brimstone Brown, and I reckoned maybe they could lend a helping hand. Wincing with every step, I started to walk to the rancho. By the time I got there, the sun was already setting. I stumbled into the outskirts of the rancho, leaning against one of the adobe buildings to rest a little. There weren't a single guard patrolling the perimeter of the Huevos Rancho. Not a single ranchero in a guard tower, or even a guard dog on a chain. With the Huevos Rancho in the middle of a range war, the lack of any guards was mighty peculiar. The biggest building in the place was a stone church in the center of the rancho. There were lights in the building, and the sound of voices as well. I figured that's where the people were, and that I ought to go there. I walked over to the door, and I was about to push it open to walk on through, when I noticed something. The voices coming from the church weren't the voices of men. They were speaking Spanish, and some of them seemed to be crying, and they were all high-pitched. I stood on tiptoe and glanced in through a nearby window. Just as I had thought, there weren't a single man of fighting age in there, just little boys, girls, and women. Then I heard some footsteps behind me. I spun around, a revolver already in my hand, and there was a little dark-haired boy, a year or two younger than Charles. He was dressed in a shiny dark suit with silver embroidery on it, and had a small sombrero on. We stared at each other for a while, and then he spoke. "Are you here to kill us, mister?" he asked, his little voice high and nervous. I shook my head. "I'm looking for help. Any men around here? Like them tough fellers that went out to battle? Tears welled up in the kid's eyes, and I felt worse than the devil himself. My father and my older brothers died today. It is a bad day, and we're crying over them. Suddenly, I realized that there weren't no men in the Huevos Rancho, on account of Brimstone Brown and me had killed every one of them. Now, I normally try not to regret the lives I've taken, but this was too much. Brimstone had made me shed innocent blood, and now I was aching to shed some of his. Sanchito? A woman's voice called. Where did you get to? A young woman with short brown hair and a loose dress and a vest came walking out of the church, probably looking for the little boy. She had an old Schofield revolver in her belt, and pulled it out lightning quick when she spotted me. Gringo! Trying to kill us while we pray? Now, that ain't quite true, I started to say, but the woman stepped forward and shoved the revolver in my face. Dirty, rotten gringo! The fat one from the ranch must have sent you. Murdering our men is not enough, eh? You must kill women and children, too. Well, I am Valentina Valdez, and I shall enjoy killing you. She was full of anger and fury, and I guess she had her reasons. Wait, before you kill me, just let me tell you something, I begged. I'm a hired gun. I just do what I've been paid to, and I never wanted to hurt any women or kids. I reckon I'm a decent feller, and most of the time I try to act like one. A mercenary! Valentina spat. Oh, we will bury your head in the sand and let the fire ants feast on your eyeballs. We shall tie you to four horses and send them all off different directions, so you are torn apart. We shall burn you alive and step on the ashes. A few more people came out of the church. Most of them were women in shawls, but one was an aged preacher, bent over and dressed in a black robe. They looked at Valentina Valdez and me. I smiled sadly at them, wondering how I was going to get out of this alive. Well, at least we can get some information out of you before we kill you, Valentina snarled, shoving her revolver nearly up my nose. Tell me, what are the gringos doing now? Nothing much, and that's on account of there ain't none of them left. I gulped as I thought about the horrible events that had gone on at the mission. Brimstone Brown done tricked us, led us right into the mission, and then... The mission? Valentina asked. You mean? Yeah, I said. San Diablo. As soon as I mentioned the name, the old priest let out a cry in Spanish and fell backwards. Some of the women caught him, and all eyes turned to the old feller. I had a sinking feeling in my chest. San Diablo! The old priest cried. San Diablo! Sorry, sir, but that's what it is. Now you mind letting me know what in heaven or hell's name was going on back there? I was a bit rude, maybe, but I was still aching from my fall, and as mad as could be about Brimstone's trickery. Follow me, all of you, the priest said. He turned and entered the church. Not knowing what else to do, I followed him, and so did Valentina, Sanchito, and the other rancheros. He walked into one of the back rooms of the church, came out with a book the size of a small mountain, and plopped it down on the podium. We was all gathered round to look at it. Valentina seemed to be less focused on torturing me, though she did send me the occasional menacing glare. All right, Padre, what is San Diablo? I asked. Do you not know the name of it? In English, I think it is called Saint Devil. Do you not know the meaning of that? I thought it was just a colorful name. The preacher shook his head. There are no colorful names out here. San Diablo started out as just another mission. It had a small number of devoted priests in charge of converting the Indians to Christianity, and a small band of soldiers to protect them. As he spoke, he flipped through the large book and showed a few stiff-looking woodcut pictures. They showed the Indians working while a few bald priests in brown robes looked on. The priests believed in total discipline from the Indians, and there was much punishment. He showed a rather terrifying picture of a few Indians being burned at the stake, while others were whipped. So what makes it Saint Devil? I wondered. An earthquake occurred, cutting off the mission from the supply routes. The same year, a drought came and the crops were very poor. Priests became more and more violent towards the Indians as the food supplies dwindled. Then, utter savagery occurred. The Padre turned the page and showed me a picture straight out of an Edgar Allan Poe story. The priests had apparently resorted to cannibalism and were munching on the Indians, and other pictures showed the priests and soldiers doing terrible acts to the Indians. Well, I can't mention it even now. The woodcuts made shivers run down my spine.
And that is only the half of it, the padre explained. The priests believed that God had forsaken them and began to worship El Diablo. They made sacrifices of human flesh to him, forever binding human suffering into that cursed mission. One soldier managed to escape before the final orgy destroyed all, even the fallen priests. The surviving soldier made these woodcuts to warn other priests never to venture into San Diablo. No one has entered that mission for centuries. This connection to Satan, I said, thinking about Brimstone Brown. Could someone, like a devoted servant of the occult, set it up again? The padre looked at me, pure horror in his old eyes, and said, "See." Everything fell into place. Brimstone Brown had come here to access the demonic power in San Diablo, and finding it owned by the Huevos Rancho, had sided with Jasper Cormack to take the mission over. He had known that Cormack's men had killed every able-bodied man working for Huevos Rancho, and he had exploited Cormack's hatred of the Mexicans to get him and his men into the mission where he could access its dark power. Clee would making the connection work do, I asked, not sure if I wanted to know. Open a portal to hell itself and unleash the demonic hosts upon our world. Hell? Ah, hell, I muttered. I came to my feet and headed for the door. I better go shut Brimstone Brown down. Maybe I should get some rest before, but I don't reckon I got much time. As I started for the door, a horrible thought entered my mind. There was one thing that hadn't been accounted for. Brown's pleasure at seeing Charles. Say, Padre, what kind of ritual needs to be done to open the portal? A sacrifice. Unjustly spilled blood, such as the blood of the poor Indians, to touch the stones of San Diablo. Would a child's blood work? That would be perhaps the only thing that would work. That was all I needed to hear. Brimstone was probably planning to use one of the Huevos Rancho's children. When he saw Charles, he would have changed his mind. Cormack Ranch was now defenseless and closer to San Diablo, and Brimstone would go out of his way to hurt Charles just to spite me. I ran out of there as fast as I could, leapt on the first horse I could find, and pounded off towards Cormack Ranch. Charles Green had stayed at the ranch because I wanted to keep him safe, and now it seemed like he was going to be sacrificed. Whatever was going to happen, I knew that all hell was going to break loose. Maybe literally. But the priest ran after me. The old padre nearly knocked himself over, but he kept on running. He was holding something in his hands and urged me to stop. I forced myself to obey. "Gringo!" he cried, pushing a small cluster of prayer beads at me. "Take this! Wear it, and the evil spirits will not be able to take you." "Thank you kindly, padre." I grabbed the beads and put them around my wrist without thinking, then continued pounding on. It was dark when I got back to the Cormack Ranch, but I was too damn late. I leapt off the horse and ran into the ranch house, looking for Charles. I could tell there had been some kind of a struggle. There were broken windows, and the body of a ranch hand lay on the floor, with cuts that have only come from Brimstone Brown's Arkansas toothpick. Most of the furniture was overturned. Worst of all, there was no Charles. I let out every curse word I knew. Brimstone Brown must have captured my boy, and was possibly carving up poor innocent Charles and feeding his bits and pieces to Satan himself. Charles was such a good kid, not an ounce of malice anywhere in his little body. It made me sick just to think about the lad in the clutches of a man like Brimstone Brown. Right there I resolved to get him back, or lose my own wretched life in the attempt. It didn't take long for me to find the armory of the Cormack Ranch. The place had all kinds of weapons ripe for the taking, loaded up with a couple of pistols, including a few quick-firing Colt Lightnings, two repeating rifles, a coach gun, and as much dynamite as I could stuff in my pockets. I walked out of the armory armed to the teeth, and then it hit me like a punch to the jaw. Brimstone must have been summoning demons all night long. He probably had an army of them there, not counting the possessed ranch hands. No matter how well armed I was, I couldn't win. Son of a gun, I cursed.
There's no way one feller can win against everything Brimstone's brought up from hell.
What about two? A woman's voice asked. I looked up and saw none other than Valentina Valdez smiling at me. She was holding the reins of a train of 3 mules. I took a closer look at the mules and found that each one had a sack of dynamite stuck on their back. Cormac had these mules loaded with explosives, she explained. The fat gringo was planning to demolish the rancho. Maybe we can use these to our advantage. I smiled at her and doffed my hat. I thought you were trying to kill me.
That can wait until El Diablo is back in hell, the fiery Latina answered.
I can kill you then, but maybe I won't. You don't seem that bad for a gringo.
I guess that's the only compliment I'll get out of you, I said. Well, let's load up and head on out. We've got a long day ahead of us.
We decided to risk it all in a frontal assault, not wanting to waste time that Brimstone Brown could be using to spill more blood and summon more demons. Valentina and I hunkered down behind a large rock and watched the San Diablo mission. It was built like a fortress, armored doors, high walls, and small, narrow windows. The round muzzle of the Hotchkiss gun stuck out of the windows above the main double doors. The ranch hands stood on the top of the wall like statues, their eyes wide and completely red, with thin streams of spittle hanging off of their mouths. It was quite an eerie sight, and a distinct scent of sulfur floated in the air. But there was one thing that would blast apart those big double doors and give Valentina Valdez and me and our guns enough time to do what needed to be done, and that was the mule hunched next to us with a bag filled with dynamite on its back. But there was one problem. We gotta take out that Hotchkiss, I said. It will shoot the donkey before it gets even halfway to the door, and then we might get ourselves caught in the explosion.
Could you pull off a shot? Valentina asked. I narrowed my eyes, but shook my head. Nope, too damn far away.
Valentina stared at the Hotchkiss, and her fingers went to the coiled lariat at her hip. I think I have an idea, she said, a cruel smile on her face. Give me some covering fire. Without even waiting for me to agree, she took off running. I stood up and opened fire with both of the Colt Lightens. The favorite guns of Billy the Kid did their job, shooting out bullets lickety-split. I blasted one of the possessed ranch hands off of the wall and watched his body tumble to the ground. Soon as he slammed down on the hard California dirt, the bloody red mist flowed out of his body and disappeared into the walls of the mission. Valentina took advantage of my firing and ran ahead, her lariat in one hand and her revolver in the other. She fired at the Hotchkiss, spinning and jumping to avoid getting shot, and then, right as she was just under the rapid-firing gun, she lashed out with her lariat. The strong rancho rope fastened its lasso right around the muzzle of the Hotchkiss. Valentina gave it a quick pull and the gun came tumbling down. I grabbed the reins of the mule and pointed it in the direction of the door. Then, I lit the fuse on its back and gave the animal a quick stab in the rear with my bowie knife. The mule let out a bray of pain and ran screaming towards the gate. The dynamite fuse worked perfectly, setting off the candy red explosives just in time. The mule exploded in a red fireball and blasted a huge hole in the gate. Some of the defenders flew into the air and fell to the ground with sickening crunches, their misty spirits disappearing into the walls after they died. It was a cruel thing to do to a harmless animal, but I reckon it was the quickest way inside the mission, and I don't think I'll regret it. Not wanting the mule to die in vain, I began running towards the opening in the wall, dropping the empty Colt Lightnings and going for my trusty peacemakers. Valentina was right behind me. We blasted a few more ranch hands and soon found ourselves standing in the courtyard of the mission San Diablo.
Brimstone? I asked, spinning around and looking for a sign of him. Where are you hiding? What have you done with my boy?
He's here. Brimstone's cold voice came from nowhere and everywhere at once. Safe.
I was waiting for the right moment to gut him, and I'd like nothing more than for you to watch his lifeblood trickle out of him.
Mr. Reaper?
Charles's high voice suddenly shouted from the same impossible direction as Brimstone's.
I think he might do it. I'm scared.
That was something I would never allow to happen.
Where are you, Brimstone, you yellow-bellied varmint? Come on out so I can shoot you.
I'll do you one better, Brimstone's voice taunted.
I'll give you some other things to shoot. We have plenty of time. no point in rushing things. Mist started to come out of the wall, and my mind went to the prayer beads the old padre had given me. "Quick," I shouted, tearing the beads off of my wrist. "Grab onto these. We don't want no spirits setting up camp in our minds." Valentina grabbed onto the beads, and we stood together as the mist churned around us like waves in a sea. The evil vapor tried to get into our mouths or sneak up one of our nostrils, but each time the dark power stopped like something was holding it back. Pretty soon, the mist disappeared altogether. "Yee-haw!" I shouted with joy. "Looks like the old padre was right." "I suppose I can't have your minds," Brimstone shouted, "but the imps can at least have your bodies." Soon as he said the words, a bunch of burrows appeared in the ground, and more of them little creatures came crawling out. Their sharp claws glinted in the morning sun, and they surrounded us. I drew one of the Winchesters and tossed the other to Valentina. "Shoot them dead as they come," I shouted. Valentina nodded. She fired, worked the lever, and fired again. Two imps flopped backwards, dead. "Vaya con Dios," the rancho girl shouted as both of us started shooting away. Back to back, we gunned down the charged nymphs, and when the little buggers got close enough, we crushed their heads with our rifle butts and stomped them under our boots. Soon the last imp was destroyed. "The little ones always die first, I suppose," Brimstone's disembodied voice came from all directions. "But the hosts of the Inferno have yet to truly come forth." After he said that, things got considerably more like hell. Other creatures emerged snarling from the ground, giants with bulls' heads and cannons for arms, and bigger imps dressed up like Confederate soldiers and armed with rifles, and many other horrors too damn numerous to mention, all came pouring out of the earth. "And these are just the welcoming committee!" Brimstone's voice let out a ragged laugh. "Just wait until I bleed your little boy dry, and summon the Lord of Hell himself!" I had to stop Brimstone Brown before he did that, but I just didn't have enough time or bullets, and I didn't know where the bastard was. The demons let out a thunderous roar and started firing. Valentina and I just had time to dive for cover before they crashed down on us. Luckily, we had plenty of guns and ammo, courtesy of Jasper Cormorick. Valentina and I stood up and fired together, driving the demons back. One by one, the terrible creatures keeled over and fell into the dirt. But each time one died, another one jumped up and took its place. "We can't hold forever," I shouted. "Not enough bullets to kill all of them." I dropped the empty Winchester and blasted an incoming demon with my peacemaker. "We gotta find out where Brimstone is and shut him down. But his damn voice just seems to come from everywhere." Valentina looked at me thoughtfully after she had warded off a demon's bayonet and blown apart its spongy skull. "What about your boy? Why don't you ask him, you stupid gringo?" That sounded like a good idea, so I took a deep breath and shouted as loud as I could, "Charles, tell me where you are!" A few seconds of deep silence, when even the demons seemed to stay quiet. Then, just as I was wondering if the boy was ever going to answer, there was a loud yelp that could only come from Charles, followed by a wet slapping sound. "The tower!" he yelled, and I looked directly at a tall bell tower at the opposite side of the mission. "I'm in the tower, Mr. Reap!" Another wet slap interrupted him. "I'll be back in a spell," I said, and started running straight into the crowd of demons. They came at me from all sides, raking me with iron claws, firing at me with insane weapons, and snapping at me with pointed teeth. My peacemakers were out and blazing away, keeping the demons back long enough for me to make it all the way across the courtyard. I got to the entrance of the church tower just as I fired the last two bullets from my peacemakers. I chucked the empty pistols at the demons and ran inside. As I ran up the winding steps, I took out my Bowie knife. I reckoned there was going to be some knife music before the day was out. When I got to the top of the bell tower, I found Brimstone Brown standing next to Charles, who was hog-tied and lying on the ground. The satanic snake in the grass had a mad light in his eyes, and was holding out his Arkansas toothpick, and he had it pointed right at Charles's throat. "Ah, Clark," he said, "so good of you to join us. I was just about to make the first cut and open up the portal for good." "You touch him," I took a step forwards. You die. Fool. Brimstone laughed his cold laugh. You think such a pathetic concept as death scares one such as me?
Well, I said with a shrug, maybe not dying, but I bet you think getting carved up like a prize pig is pretty damn scary.
I jumped on him. Brimstone tried to stab Charles, but I grabbed his wrist and dragged the blade away. We fell to the ground, each of us trying to drive his blade into the other's chest. My bowie knife was shorter than Brimstone's long-bladed pig sticker, but I pushed forward with all of my strength. Brimstone snarled at me, and his eyes turned white.
You have no chance, he cried. All I have to do is spill a drop of the child's blood, and the Lord of Hell will come forth to claim him.
A drop of blood? I said. Just one drop? I stabbed forward with all of my might, nicking the tip of Brimstone Brown's chin. A single drop of crimson blood fell onto the tip of my blade, and I turned it over.
Oh no, Brimstone said, fear suddenly very real in his voice.
Not my blood! Not my blood!
The drop fell, and Brimstone's blood fell to the cursed stones of the church tower with a plop. As soon as it fell, the ground itself seemed to shake. Something exploded outside, and a gigantic figure appeared in the courtyard, crushing all the smaller demons under its feet. It was dressed in a dark robe and had nothing but a gaping hole for a mouth. It struck out with a claw the size of a horse, reached into the church tower and grabbed Brimstone Brown.
Alas, it said, in a voice that was somewhere between screaming and laughing, for this blood is not what I desire. Still, it shall suffice. He pulled the screaming Brimstone away and shoved him inside his mouth. Brimstone's horrible cries grew softer and softer as he slowly vanished, and in a few seconds, he was gone. The giant lord of hell and all of his minions vanished as well, sucked down into whatever netherworld they had come from. We all hightailed it out of that mission as fast as we could, and Charles was never more grateful to have me around. I think he understood how dangerous my job was now, and I think I understood how dangerous it was for me to let him out of my sight. I paid in full, even though Cormac Ranch closed down on account of there weren't no one alive to work it. I found Jasper's safe deposit box, blew it open with some of the dynamite, and took my fair share of dollars from it. I figured the poor feller owed me that much at least. As for Valentina Valdez and her ranchero family, well, she ended up owning not only the land of Huevos Rancho, but also taking over the entire Cormac Ranch as well. Even with all the menfolk dead, they were set to rake in a pretty profit from all the cattle they got. Valentina wanted me to stay and help work the land, but I told her I'd other jobs to do. She was a wild one, tough as nails and feisty as could be, but I don't think I was ready to settle down just yet. Maybe, some day way in the future when I was all old and gray, and I wanted a break from bounty hunting, I would return to the green grass of California and settle down on that ranch or in some town nearby. But I'm a long way from old age, and as long as I have Charles to support, I will continue my career. The mission San Diablo went back to being abandoned for a bit, but soon, thanks to me and Valentina, word got out about the kind of spirits that were lurking there. The famous scientist Charles Fort, theosophist cult leader Helena Blavatsky, and even the Reverend Dr. John Scudder, a British missionary from India, came down to San Diablo to do what they could. For a full week they studied and performed spells and exorcisms, and finally, they all decided to dynamite the place and move on. I had already left town when they blew it up, but I hear some of the surrounding country still ain't all earthly. But I was already heading out. There were reports of disappearing ships way down in Bermuda, and I heard that someone was thinking about uniting all the gangs in New York and taking over the city. Both of those jobs seemed like they would be something right up my alley. So I returned to Sacramento and boarded the train, not sure where I was going to end up next. Charles and I sat next to each other on the train. Charles smiled up at me.
See, Mr. Reaper? I knew you would always be there to save me.
Sure, son. I'll always be there. I squeezed Charles' shoulder. I may have been worried about the kid's safety in the long run, but for now, I was just glad to have him safe, sound, and by my side.
Well, that's Hell on the Range. I do hope you enjoyed it. Remember to check out ClarkReaper.com for more Clark Reaper news and updates. And if you have time, why don't you leave me a review on iTunes? It would certainly help other people find the shows and swell my ego. Well, the next story will be Clark Reaper and the Angel of Temperance, in which Clark and Charles visit Virginia City and encounter vampires and a very determined temperance worker. Until then, happy trails.